Thanks for tuning in to Eye on Digital Marketing. I am your host, Chuck Forbes, Manager of Client Engagement. And today I am joined by Matt Crowley, Vice President of Digital Services. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chuck?
Excellent. And with the new year brings a lot of changes. A lot of people are restructuring their strategy, maybe looking at their digital strategy, especially all the events that were unforeseen coming into this year that happened. And looking ahead to 2021, I know you have been a big advocate in giving a lot of information about some page experience ranking factors that Google is going to be rolling out in 2021. And these factors can certainly have implications on your website and your strategy. So I wanted to bring you in today and kind of talk high level and granular about what those changes are. So Matt, at a high level, you know, Google makes announcements all the time. They change things all the time. At a high level to begin, what do these changes look like? Are these more impactful changes? Are they really shifting SEO to a different route? Should you begin to think about things differently? What are we really talking about here?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to these ranking changes that Google tends to make, they fall into a variety of different buckets, and they span the spectrum from small tweaks to really large changes that they call core algorithm updates. And as I'm sure you can imagine, the small tweaks tend to have a smaller impact on metrics that a company might look at. And the larger changes that fall into the core algorithm updates bucket tend to have a much larger impact. And this specific update that we're talking about today, the page experience update, fits probably somewhere in the middle, maybe even a little bit closer to the small updates bucket. When you look at the history of updates that Google makes, there's also a consideration as to whether or not they announce the updates in advance of them happening. And if you think about it, we see a lot of core algorithm updates, so very large changes have a very large impact on a website's visibility and search, and subsequently then important KPIs like rankings, traffic, revenue, conversions, whatever it may be that you're looking at, that go unannounced. So we've had several core algorithm updates over this year, and Google almost never pre-announces those.
What's an example, just to stop you there? I think people who are listening may say, you know, that's pretty impactful, and Google doesn't really tell you that it's happening. Do you have a specific example from this year that you could point out for the audience?
Yeah, so there was one as recently as this month. There was one early in December, essentially the first week in December. And when these changes occur, it's a little bit tough when we talk about giving examples, because Google doesn't give us any more specificity as to what that algorithm update was related to, who it impacted. And so we have to look at a lot of the data and try to make some assumptions as to what that algorithm update was related to. So for example, in December, after or as they were releasing the core algorithm update for this month, they announced that they were releasing a core algorithm update. And that was all they said. They said our guidance relates back to the core things that we espouse at Google for search, which is make your website better, improve your content, improve your user experience, so on and so forth. So these core algorithm updates really just relate to Google's core mission, which is organizing the world's information, making it universally accessible and useful for their users, which basically to them is how do they deliver the best results for users in Google search.
Got it.
So these core algorithm updates are just basically business as usual for Google, but they tend to, since they're related to the core algorithms that run organic search results, they have a very large impact because they're larger updates. It's kind of like a bigger overhaul to maybe make your car engine faster as compared to changing your tires from a maintenance perspective.
Got it.
So they don't tell us what goes into that, but they have a large impact. We see that they have larger impacts just because of the fact that it's related to their core algorithm rather than one of these hundreds to thousands to hundreds of thousands of signals that they use. And so bringing that back around to the page experience update, there are these really large core algorithm updates, which they don't pre-announce. They used to not even acknowledge them. Now they at least acknowledge them when they're happening, but they don't pre-announce them. And then there are smaller updates that they do pre-announce, like this page experience update. Mm-hmm. And that's important context, because you would have to then wonder, why is Google going to pre-announce something like the page experience update that is a smaller update, whereas they're not going to pre-announce a core algorithm update, which is a much larger update and much more impactful?
Right.
So I'm sure we'll talk about that, but they did pre-announce this page experience update quite some time ago, and that's in comparison to these really large impactful updates that they don't pre-announce.
Got it. That's very helpful. So let's dive deeper into this update that's coming here for page experience. When I think about page experience, when I say page experience, there's a ton of buzzwords that come to mind, a ton of SEO factors and website factors. What in regards to page experience is Google now saying that they're, I guess, going to pay more attention to and factor that into more, right, within your SEO work?
Sure. So this page experience update is two things. It is a repackaging of existing ranking signals. And secondarily, it is the introduction of three new ranking signals. So essentially, what they are doing is they are taking existing signals that they use for ranking that to them relate to a user's experience on a web page. These existing signals include things like overall page load time, whether or not a page is served over a secure protocol, i.e. HTTPS, and some other signals. So they're taking those existing signals that they've said and announced in the past are individual signals. So at one point in time, Google came around years ago and said, we are going to make whether a page is secure or not, meaning HTTPS versus HTTP, we're going to make that a ranking signal. And if you're HTTPS, you get quote-unquote a boost. And that was another thing that they pre-announced. And they have those existing signals that were released over many years individually and individually announced. And they're taking those and they're grouping them all together. And then they're adding in three new signals that we'll talk about that relate to page load time and page loading experience, how the page loads for you. And they're packaging all of those signals together, and they're calling that the page experience update. And so it's the introduction of three new signals and the grouping of those three signals with several others that already exist.
Got it. Okay. Let's dive into what these three new signals are, one by one here, and I guess we can start with largest contentful paint.
Yeah, and actually maybe one more point right before we get into that, just to tie in what I was talking about earlier with the whole idea of Google pre-announcing this. As I just mentioned, Google has pre-announced these types of updates in the past. Page load time, HTTPS, mobile friendliness, whether a page is designed to be loaded well over a mobile device or not. And so we have a history of seeing when Google makes these pre-announcements and then the signal rolls out, how impactful was it? And at the beginning of this, I said this, I'm guessing, this is my and our team really in our discussions, expertise coming at play here. Google hasn't said how big of an impact this is going to have, but our assumption based on our expertise is that the impact from this page experience update is going to be somewhere in the middle of their small to large updates, but probably on the lower end of that. And why we say that is because of a couple things. One, they're pre-announcing this, and it's the repackaging of existing signals. So if there are signals that already exist and they're repackaging them, and you know maybe 30% of this update is new signals, and those other signals that already exist are not super impactful each on their own, in totality, this might be a very large important thing to consider, and it is, but a lot of these signals exist or are already impacting rankings today. And so there's very few things that are really new here. And when they release these smaller updates and they pre-announce them, typically that is more of a PR push from a genuinely what I believe to be helpful perspective on Google's end. But it's Google saying, hey, we're going to make this update. We want the web to move more in this direction. And when people say that it's hear that Google says it's important, people tend to take action on it. Yeah. So if we look back at the mobile-friendly update, or if we look back at the page load speed update, or if we look back at the HTTPS update, all of those are things that Google said, okay, we're now going to impact your organic ranking, whether or not you serve pages over a secure protocol, HTTPS or not. At the time that they said that, a lot of websites were HTTP. And a lot of people said, why do I need an HTTPS website? I just have content. I don't have a login.
Yeah.
I don't have e-commerce. Why do I need a secure website? And so it was Google trying to make the web more secure. And they knew if they dangled this carrot and stick of impacting organic rankings, more people would do it. So this forthcoming update seems to be in that vein. And it's Google saying, we want to move you further. We want to move the web further with providing a good user experience. And in order to do that, if we say that this is going to impact organic rankings, more websites will take action on it, and they will, and it's going to benefit users. So it's kind of a good thing all the way around, but it's probably not going to be a huge impact. There's not going to be a bomb that goes off.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a before and after where websites' organic visibility gets decimated if they don't do this. And if you do this, you're not going to suddenly be on a rocket ship and double your traffic overnight. It's probably going to be a blip that you probably can't even measure when it actually occurs. But over time, they're going to introduce more and more things related to this, and it will build and sort of become a snowball over time. So it's important to get in front of this. But as far as an update goes and the sort of impact that will happen, it's probably not going to make a blip on the radar.
Releasing core algorithm updates without any real announcement, it sounds like the Google PR team might have a very, very easy job to do. So let's dive a little bit deeper. Largest contentful paint. Like when I first heard that, you were talking about it internally, kind of giving updates from an SEO perspective to our internal team. I had no idea what you were talking about until I actually looked at the image, which we will put that image on the website as well for those listening to the podcast. What does that mean?
Yes. So largest contentful paint, that is one of the three new metrics that Google is going to add as signals and roll under this page experience update. And largest contentful paint, as you just mentioned, all of these are really much more easily visualized as some of the examples it will give. But largest contentful paint is basically a standard metric like the other two that we're going to talk about. Think about it like the architecture of how a page loads. So similarly to how you might build a building, when a page loads, to us, we see it like the blink of an eye. The page goes from not there to you see the whole page. But in reality, what's happening behind the scenes is that individual images are being loaded, text is being loaded, things are being positioned next to each other, on top or below each other, so on and so forth, sort of built like a building. But it just happens so quickly that we don't really see it. And so as that building is being built, or as that web page in this case is being built, there are different elements of the page that have more and less of an impact on user experience. There are elements that have more of an impact, like the main thing of the page that you're there to see. If you go to Google and you search for, Nike shoes, for example, you're looking to buy Nike shoes, the page that loads, you probably care most about the actual shoes that load, the pictures and names of those shoes, and you probably care less about the footer links on that page. And so largest contentful paint basically means what is the main thing that a user would see when the page loads. So that would be above the fold. The fold is at what point you have to start scrolling. So the bottom of your phone or the bottom of the the computer screen. So everything above that, so when the page loads, the first areas that you see, it's the largest thing or element above the fold and how long that takes to load. So if I'm searching for how to change a doorknob and I'm looking for words on a page, copy, step-by-step instructions on how to change a doorknob, then when that page loads, largest contentful paint looks at how long it takes the text to load that is the main element of that page. And I use words like main, but really it's largest contentful paint. So it's the largest element. That's how they're going to measure it because they don't necessarily, Google doesn't know what is the main thing. So they say main, they take that to actually turn it into something measurable by largest. So it's the largest content element, which could be text, could be image, could be a video, how long that element takes to load, and they measure that and whether or not you are in a good position, needs improvement position, or poor position based on the amount of time it takes for that largest element to load.
And I mean, I'm sure we could probably do other podcasts here and dive deeper into these actual new page experience ranking factors, but it sounds like from what you just said about largest contentful paint, if that's the way Google's looking at it, if you have something on your web page that fits the description and is your largest contentful paint, but it has nothing to do with maybe your main call to action or nothing to do with actually, you know, if it's on the bottom of your page and it's taking up a lot of room and takes a lot of time to load, then that's probably something you should look at because Google's looking at that and saying, judging by how we are dissecting this web page, this website, we think that this largest contentful paint section is something very significant to the user. But if that's not the case, and it's slowing down, you know, your page load, for example, that could be an issue, is what you're kind of saying, no?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at the end of the day, all of this is going to tie into you can't, if you prioritize everything, you're not going to prioritize anything. And when it comes to page load time, you know, everyone thinks about it, or, you know, people tend to ask about it or talk about it from the perspective of how I'm even oversimplifying their page load time. Like a page isn't there and then it's there and how much time it took to get there. And in reality, it's all these individual components. And so you say, well, let's prioritize everything. Let's prioritize, I want everything to load immediately. Well, then nothing's going to load immediately because it has to happen step by step. It's the way it works. You can't just say, I want my entire building built immediately. You have to build the foundation. You have to build the structure. You have to frame the walls, put the roof on, so on and so forth. So if you think about it from a prioritization standpoint, all of these things are going to relate to prioritizing what matters most for the user. So what matters most for you might be your logo in the top right corner of the page, but a user, that doesn't matter to them. What matters most to them is the content they're trying to consume. And that's what largest contentful paint measures, is how long that takes to load. So if you think about it like, you know, largest contentful paint, like a painting, it's what is in the center of that painting that someone's buying. It's not the frame. So how long it takes that main thing to load that the user's trying to consume. So when you think about it from a, how should you look at this from a business standpoint, it's important to prioritize the things that matter most to your users. Those things should load quick. They should be great. They should be well written or well produced, and all of that sort of stuff. But when it comes to the things that we're talking about today that relate to page loading, you want the main region of the page that's most important to be high up on the page, and you want it to load quickly.
Got it. So first, largest contentful paint. Very helpful. Definitely makes a lot more sense, probably, from when I first said that term and people heard it. Number two is first input delay. What are we talking about there, Matt?
Yeah, so there are really these three metrics really kind of relate to three separate things. First, largest contentful paint relates to how quickly can I as a user see the thing that matters most to me. First input delay, the second thing is how quickly can I interact with that thing? Because as websites and web pages are interactive things, They're not just a piece of paper that I read. They're things I click on. It's critical for me to be able to interact with that page. And I'm sure we've all, maybe less so more recently, because things have with the web have gotten a lot better, smoother, faster. You know, when the web, especially mobile, was first coming around, I'm sure you can imagine or remember times where the first few times you were trying to load a web page on your phone, it would take a long time to load, things would be blank, but then things would load and you would try to click on something and it wouldn't, nothing would happen. Yeah. You sit there and you'd click 40 times, especially when screens came around. You know, when we had a BlackBerry, at least we felt like we were clicking something. But then when there's a screen, you're wondering, am I even clicking anything? Nothing's happening. So you just basically, you know, slam your phone 40 times and nothing happens.
Yeah.
So first input delay measure is basically that. How quickly can a user interact with something on the page? Typically, that's going to be a link. So what they're measuring there is how quickly the browser can respond to a user trying to click an element. I'm oversimplifying a lot of this, but how quickly can a user click an element like a link, and how quickly will that link respond back to them? So it doesn't really matter how fast I can click it as a user. It matters how quickly can the page respond back to me clicking that, so it can load that additional page or element or unfold content, show you something else, or swipe between images, something like that. So first input delay is basically measuring the delay it takes for my first input, my click, to then be responded back to me.
And the third final piece that Google is introducing, cumulative layout shift. What does that deal with?
Yep. So cumulative layout shift is really how often a user is expecting, or how often a user receives what's called a layout shift. So a layout shift, there's two things there. First is layout. Just think about it like page layout. There's a header, there's an image, there's text, there's a main navigation. All of those things are laid out next to one another, kind of like a gallery wall, if you will. And all of those things should be in their appropriate positions. And they shouldn't be moving all over the page. They shouldn't be bouncing around like a ping pong ball. Because if they are, that's not a great user experience. If a page loads and there's an image that I'm looking at and I'm seeing that image load and that's what I'm there to see, and then it moves to the bottom of the page, now I've got to scroll to the bottom of the page to find it. And then if it moves back to the top of the page, I've got to scroll back to the top, and I'm chasing this image around that I'm trying to consume.
It reminds me of, remember the very first screensavers they had, like on your Dell computer? Uh-huh. It's like just a box that just goes around the screen.
Exactly. Yeah. So if that box is, you know, the thing that's most critically important to you, which could be, you know, something like a game cheat code for a video game, or could be something life-saving, like, you know, what are the signs of a heart attack? You don't want those things to be moving all over the page and have you trying to find them on the page. And as I mentioned earlier, page doesn't load all at once, it loads in pieces. And so cumulative layout shift basically measures the number of, the number and amount of, and how dramatic they are, of these layout shifts that occur. You will most often see these on news websites, publications, because of ads. Because what happens is the main content loads alongside all of the other elements of the page, like the navigation, alongside three or four ads. Forbes, you can see this very well. If you go to a lot of articles on Forbes and you're not signed in or anything like that, you will have the entire page moved all the way below the fold. You have a full page ad that you must scroll down to get past.
Yep.
And so the page loads, then the whole content gets pushed down. That's a layout shift. So what Google's trying to do is minimize those layout shifts because they're bad for users. And so the more layout shifts you have and the worse they are, the lower your score will be and the more it will negatively impact you. And it, when it comes to page, the page experience update.
Got it. So we have these three new components here: largest contentful paint, first input delay, the cumulative layout shift, and we're talking about, you know, how quickly can I, as the user, see what's important to me on that web page, how quickly can I interact with it, and then Google trying to get away from the example you gave of being on Forbes or like the Wall Street Journal, where you have these full page ads that if you sign in, all of a sudden gets pushed all the way to the bottom and your content comes up. So knowing all this, knowing that from your perspective and seeing hundreds, if not thousands of changes that Google has rolled out both on the small bucket side and the core algorithm side. We're kind of in the middle here, and you said maybe even more to the small tweaks side. Knowing all this, moving into 2021, what is your best advice for users listening to this podcast saying, you know, I should probably check on these things? Where should I start? Is it just having a conversation with my marketing team and my SEO team, or is it something bigger than that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when we talk about this in the grand scheme, you know, it's not probably going to be super measurable from day one to day two. But as I mentioned, it's going to be a snowball over time of Google moving in this direction. Historically, they've looked at things, or from how we look at things with an SEO, they've looked at these areas and they've made big pushes over time. They started with originally links, and that was the PageRank formula, Larry Page and Sergey Brin. They became very sophisticated with understanding how links relate to how pages should rank. Then they moved to other things like content and keywords. And they're now in what I would consider in the big picture, early stages of user experience. And user experience is becoming a critical component for SEO. It has been forever, but it's now becoming more critical from the perspective that it's more measurable. So we tend to think about user experience in a qualitative sense. Is it a good or bad user experience? And how do you measure that? It's subjective, you can't. Well, these things are now quantifiable elements that Google can put metrics and numbers to, put into their formulas and their algorithms, not subjectively, but objectively, then rank pages based upon. And so these are small things when this gets released, and it's going to be released in May of 2021. So from March to April to May to June, you're probably not going to notice a overnight shift. But when you look down the road in a year or two, if you're not doing these things now, you're going to be significantly behind the eight ball. Competitors probably are going to have passed you. And these things aren't just good for SEO, for traffic, or anything like that. They're good for that, plus your user experience and users converting on your site. So this is really important to start on now if you haven't already. And it's important to look at it through the lens of both SEO and development, because these are development tasks. These are development workflows. These relate to page load and how pages are built and constructed and maintained. And so it's really critical to combine those two forces, because from an SEO perspective, there's a lot of help and guidance that can be brought to the table with how to focus on these elements, what tools can be leveraged, how to measure these, as well as how to consider these alongside other SEO changes like content changes. And so it's really important to have development and SEO talk together on this sort of an initiative. But a lot of this is going to rely on the development wheelhouse. And the best thing to do for now is start measuring these elements. There are tools that you can use to start getting a sense of where you sit today, and then to start working in optimizations for these three elements and more down the road, because there will be more, within your development workflows. If you're not already prioritizing page load speed, you should. And if you are prioritizing page load speed, as I mentioned earlier, what within page load speed are you prioritizing? There are probably hundreds of metrics that you could be prioritizing. And it's important to consider these three within the context of all of the other metrics that you're looking at to improve page load time.
Yeah, super helpful tips, Matt. Really appreciate you joining and going over this stuff with us today. And it's funny when you mention, you know, user experience being part of SEO, but also, you know, think about it for the user, because working with clients all the time, sometimes when we talk about technical SEO recommendations, they can be a bit boring, even though they're very important. As soon as you say user experience or UX, all of a sudden everybody's ears perk up, because nobody wants to have an experience where a customer or really anyone is going to your site and says, wow, this is bad. That's the ultimate no-no. So, you know, your point is very valid in saying, yes, there's a lot of things behind the scenes SEO-wise, and even with these rollouts that you're going to have to measure and look at and use your development team. But ultimately, when you really break these down and what Google is rolling out, it likely will definitely make a better user experience for people coming to your site, which why wouldn't you want that? So May 2021, you said, this is when we expect to have this rolled out fully?
Yes, Google has announced that this will be happening in May.
Awesome. So there you go. If you need any help on how to approach or how to strategize for these changes coming in 2021, you can always reach out to us here at More Visibility. Send us an email, info@morevisibility.com, and Matt and his team will be happy to help you further. Matt, really appreciate you joining the podcast today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it.